I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 393, the box office report for the week ending July 15th, 2018.
More like the box office report?
Because we're unsure.
We're like, because we don't know the
because
numbers.
Because the numbers, half of them are estimates from 3 days ago.
Yeah. But,
hey, we'll tell you anyway.
Why not?
I mean, fake news. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the rage.
It is all that. If you ask some people, yes, it is.
They love it in London.
Yeah, they do.
So, I don't know. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I'm sleepy.
I bet you are.
I you have no sympathy for me.
None whatsoever.
But you're on this schedule.
Also
<'cause> you're
true.
Used to working overnight.
Yes.
What have you been doing?
I just had a concert last night.
Oh, what was it?
Killer Queen, the Queen
oh,
tribute
cool.
band.
They brought Freddie Mercury back with a hologram.
Boy, it's not a hologram, but you would think they brought him back. This guy is crazy good. His name's Patrick Myers.
That's awesome.
And he has the whole getup?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Like costume changes. Like, I took my son, will be 14 in August, and he loves the classic rock, so I was not subjecting him to anything.
Right.
He loves classic rock, and
he's got good taste.
Yeah. And he, so a Styx tribute band opened, and because he likes Styx as well.
As well, he should.
Yeah, and they're local, but they were good. But they don't look like them, but they're good. And I mean, really, do you need them to look like Styx?
Can you if you were to line up Styx?
I could.
Oh, I couldn't.
Yeah, I could.
No
Dennis
way.
DeYoung, Tommy Shaw. Yeah, I could.
Well, I mean,
are they all 80? Like, are they pretty old?
They've got to be in their probably mid to late 70s.
No,
60s?
No, probably mid 60s. Yeah. That's my guess.
Are they younger, the cover band?
Oh, yeah, not much.
No.
they're probably in their 50s.
Okay. The cover band is only 10 years younger when they were popular. So
right. Yeah, I mean, it tends to be the way it works.
They grew up with the music.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, you're going to love when the Queen tribute band comes out. I'm like, because they actually look like them, too. And he's like, okay. And they come out, and the guy like looks
Did he rock the yellow jacket first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you get like three or four costume changes, but he comes out and then starts singing, and Brian literally is like, his mouth is agape.
He did the Jim Carrey in the mask where like his jaw drops.
I just
and, like,
about
tongue,
yeah.
Tongue rolls out.
Well, no, he didn't want to have sex with him.
I'm judge.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Cameron Diaz has never looked better.
That is the best she's ever looked.
I didn't realize as a kid that was her, you know, and I grew up and obviously saw all these movies with Cameron Diaz in them, and I saw all this stuff, and then I went back and watched The Mask for the first time in over a decade, and I'm like,
that scene,
Cameron Diaz was in this?
When
like,
she walks into the bank and she's
in the red
walking
dress,
out
yeah.
of the rain.
Yeah.
That's the movie that got her kind of,
that's it?
Put her on the map.
Yeah,
it is.
So
yeah,
like
yeah,
at the
sure.
time, I had no idea. She wasn't
she
a name.
She was a knockout.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was loving it. He
awesome.
Was not.
Does he wear the white? Does he wear the white tank top? Not Brian. The
yeah,
he was
he, the one
and
with
the
flash.
Yeah.
The one with the flash logo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
He does that for a while. Comes about with the cape and a crown. Like does the whole thing.
Man, that's great.
So if Killer Queen comes to your neighborhood and you like the music of Queen, you would do yourself a favor by checking them out. They're
that's
really
cool.
Good. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So he had a great time. So
congratulations, Brian.
Yes.
You should. He'll be very excited when he gets his birthday present.
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Is it a signed Freddie Mercury?
No, no, I'd keep that for myself. I mean, I love him, but not that
signed
much.
Signed in Sharpie, be like, hey,
yeah. I'm like, I'll put in the will for you.
Wait a minute, he wasn't.
They had Sharpie then.
They had Sharpies back then. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
it's the Beatles. We're just like, I don't think Lennon signed that with.
Yeah,
Sharpie.
I mean, he theoretically could have, but it's. I'm always highly skeptical.
Oh, it was a Mr. Scent back then. They only had grape, apple, and orange, though.
Black licorice, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Then, like, a magic marker.
Yeah. So that's why, like, wait, they didn't have black licorice in the Mr. Scent lineup back then.
Don't
you
feed me that.
I remember at Wizard World,
yep.
The people that sell, like, those.
Yeah, I mean, I will
never.
The
music ones are total BS.
Yep.
Some of them, I mean, they're so cheap, and you're just like, how do you have all of these, and you're not selling
them
for
anything?
Yeah,
a first pressing of Appetite for Destruction signed by everybody?
Yeah.
No.
And you're selling bucks?
For 30 bucks?
Get
out of here.
They had like a Beatles one signed by all four Beatles.
Yeah.
And it was like $2,000.
Yeah.
And I'm just
I feel like that's low.
Yeah, I feel like that's way low considering two of them are dead.
I will never buy anything autographed unless like I buy it from the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'll never like on eBay they're like it's signed by this person. I was like,
yeah.
I don't trust you. Like it's too.
Some of it is like to me it needs to just kind of pass the sniff test. So like last time I bought
Mr. Scent markers, that's what
we're talking about, yeah.
I bought a Burt Reynolds autograph photo.
Okay.
At last. But I was like, Burt Reynolds goes to these things. You know?
Oh, sure.
So he's got a new movie out, doesn't he?
He just did a movie, about an aging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all do at this
movie
point.
Star.
Jerry Lewis did one. Like, they all. Like,
I was just amazed because we were even talking about, like, where's Burt Reynolds been? And then
I think
he
his health
came out with
him. I think it's bad.
He's having.
But he didn't look, like, we talked about, like, oh, he looks rough. Like, I don't know. I just.
He's
I
had
guess
a bunch of work done
on
that face.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It
was like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. But I was like, okay, well, that's, like, believable. Like, he goes to these things.
Sure.
Like, and I know a lot of those autograph booths, that's where they're getting them from, is they go there and do it and then frame it and mark it up. And
right.
I'm like, okay, well, he's not at ours, and this is believable. You know, when I see a Stan Lee autographed item for sale, I'm like, that's
possible.
Right. That's believable.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. I see that. Man, people have him sign the weirdest things.
But when you have, like, you know, a Doors album autographed by every member in Sharpie.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I got to throw the BS.
There's I saw somebody had a Mickey Mantle baseball signed by Mickey Mantle. And it's just like, it's possible.
Right.
I guess. Like, I don't know.
I wonder what the value is in something like that. Like how many people out there are still like
wanting a Mickey Mantle baseball?
I mean, it absolutely has value.
Sure.
I mean, like that. But like, you got to think like that. First off, the overall popularity of baseball is declining.
Absolutely.
And then the people that care about baseball from that era is declining.
Yep.
And so you just kind of got to wonder. And the price point for entry on stuff like that is so high. I'm just really curious if it's able to sustain its value.
I feel like
way.
there are baseball players who will always Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, those Yankee players for the most part.
Kelly Leak.
I don't think that's a thing.
No, like, he was amazing.
I mean, yes, but I don't think people are looking for a Kelly Leak baseball.
Well, then they are mistaken.
But like,
Fred Bird.
That's a big one. But I think
we got to look for the fraudulent ones. They sign him Frederick Bird.
We know Fred Bird never went by Frederick.
Frodrick.
Yeah,
Frodrick.
It's spelled with a PH.
But yeah, like I don't think there are players of today like. I don't think people are gunning for a Barry Bonds baseball. Pujols. I think Pujols is probably one that people.
Yeah.
Ichiro.
Is my Mark McGuire ball still worth a lot of money?
Is it actually a baseball signed by Mark McGuire?
Yeah. Oh, it's one of his testicles. It shriveled up and fell out
because
of all the
rules. You know, if he would have gone to the Hall of Fame,
right.
Yes. Since he's not going into the Hall of Fame, you could probably get something in the St. Louis market.
Yeah.
There's probably still people looking for it.
So we're I think I mentioned it before, we're rewatching all the Simpsons episodes, and we just got to
Wants to see me hit some dingers?
Yeah. We just watched episode, or we're in season 10, yeah. And so the home run race was 20 years ago, which yeah. is crazy. So that puts you at season 10 of the Simpsons,
yep.
And he comes out in his Cardinals gear, and he's like, it blew my mind, because I'm like, wait, we're only in season 10, and I was trying to add it up.
1996?
Jeez.
That's the one where he hits a home, like, does he hit a home run and hits a satellite? Or he's like, he's trying to put all of the satellite data under his hat.
Distract them. Yeah, 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 because Bart is on Ritalin, and he thinks he thinks the space satellites are tracking him, and they all think he's crazy.
And he's right.
And then it falls out of the sky, and it's Major League Baseball. Bart's like, Major League Baseball is tracking me. Major League, you know, and everyone thinks he's crazy. And then the satellite falls, and it says property of Major League Baseball.
And here
they
comes
send Mark McGuire to distract
McGuire.
People. Watch me hit some dingers.
Who wants to see me hit some dingers?
And I just was blown away that we were that early in The Simpsons, and there was Mark McGuire. I'm like, how does this even line up?
When you look at the Bret Hart,
on
that show, like he buys, and one of my favorite ones is the one where Homer meets Gerald Ford.
Yeah,
I think it's George Herbert Bush.
Yeah, H.W. like moves in across the street,
and then Gerald Ford moves into the house.
Yeah, which was because he had said some bad things about The Simpsons,
right.
About how it was corrupting the youth of America.
His wife did too. Yeah,
but it wasn't.
Marge Simpson wrote a letter to Barbara Bush,
right?
And then she wrote a letter back apologizing, but then George Bush went the next week or whatever after the apology and said, let's be more like the Waltons than the Simpsons.
And then they put him on the show.
Yeah,
but it wasn't him. It was
No president has ever done it, I don't believe. I was watching
Clinton
a little.
Was never on?
He was he wouldn't, because Clinton said he wouldn't because he didn't want to tarnish the office of the
So
president.
He can do it now.
He could do it now. Why not?
Like, yeah.
Trump never did a voice in The Simpsons? I feel like that had to have happened.
But they predicted he would
be
president.
Yeah, that's just,
like 10 years ago or whatever
Simpsons
they showed him.
First.
Trump, yeah.
Yeah,
there
Trump
is an,
2020.
There is an irony, though, to Clinton not wanting to do things to tarnish.
Right,
true.
I know.
Yeah, like, what?
Every time I see stuff like that, knowing what we know now, I'm just like, oh,
like what? You
do, you want to do a voice on The Simpsons?
But yeah.
But you'll,
lie to the American public? Okay.
You'll shove a cigar up a girl's hoo-ah in the Oval Office.
In the Oval Office.
But, well, it was in the back room of the Oval Office. I think it's
that's
different, right?
That's like another territory.
Yeah,
technically, right?
That was another territory.
Altogether new to her.
Yeah. So speaking of shameless plugs,
hey-o! Where's Dan?
President Clinton.
Dan just went like, there's been a disturbance.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
That was a long walk, but it was worth it.
It
for
was,
that
yeah.
joke.
That was good.
Shameless plugs, don't forget. We're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you can join the League of Show Sharers. Share the show with your friends. Let them know all about the podcast you listen to faithfully every week and love so much.
So much.
Bring them into the fold. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Chris James, Ralph Tribble, Jason Weese, Dylan Lang, Laura Connolly Quiddick.
That's a new one.
That is a new one.
Yeah.
I think she came over from the clip out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the podcast I have with my wife.
We know what it is, Tom.
But the listeners probably don't.
That's probably true.
Yeah. This
isn't
just for us.
There's not a crossover, a big crossover of clip out and real spoilers?
Well, now we're at one. So, and counting.
It's a good start.
We've made it. We've made it.
It only took a year. Dustin and Nerds at Night Gaming. Tom,
I think
Kaminsky.
That one might be more popular than this one.
What's that?
The clip out. Right on.
Tom, well, you know, we have a very targeted
That's
demo.
True. That's fair.
That's, you know, yeah. If we only did Marvel movies, I bet you know what I mean. But it's like with having a different topic every week.
Right.
I think that does work against
That's
it sometimes.
True.
So anyway, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Tom Kaminsky, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Chris DeLay, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Brad Hyen, Chris Magic Man, Chris Sanders, Timmy Tuzun, Zach Bach, and Richard Lawson. So thank you very much for sharing the show and liking us on Facebook. We shared a video this week. We shared the Muppets video.
That's pretty cool.
Which I can't believe isn't all over the internet. That's like the coolest thing I've seen.
The two worlds colliding.
Yeah, like they did a live show at the O2 Arena in London.
Mm-hmm.
And Which is cool that the Muppets have a live show.
That's awesome.
Lee's tour that. But it would probably be difficult because I think they had a lot of celebrity guests kind of pop in.
Oh, right.
But they did a Pigs in Space sketch where they crash David Tennant as Doctor Who.
Yep.
And so it's really cool. So if you didn't see that,
it's very
like
cool.
To, and then also don't forget we have a Patreon account. So if you want to kick in, if you like it so much that you want to kick in, feel free to swing on by patreon.com/realspoilers.
And Joe and I usually try to theme it to the movie of the week. So we've done Jurassic Park episodes. We went back and revisited The Lost World. And then this week we did Die Hard in honor of the 30th anniversary today.
Today.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Die Hard.
Die Hard. And
one of the greatest top five action movies of all time.
Yep. And we will be going back and revisiting the original Mission Impossible, directed by Brian De Palma, in honor of
Mission Impossible.
Oh, I think
you should have done the TV show.
No, we're not quite.
I don't know if you could find that. I mean, is that streaming anywhere?
I'm sure you
know.
Can find it somewhere.
Speaking of streaming, I was excited because Hulu finally put MASH.
Oh, they did? All of it?
All of it.
Ooh.
All 11 seasons. And I was a little concerned at first, right?
Yeah.
But
they cropped the aspect ratio?
They tweaked the aspect ratio.
Oh, really?
So it's formatted for 16:9.
Oh.
Hang on.
Okay.
No. This thing is beautiful.
Is it in HD?
I think it's as close to HD as they can get. It is pristine, and it appears, from what I can tell, to be taken from its original source material. So they went back. They shot this thing on film, and so they went. It looks like they went back to the film
and pan and scanned it, and they actually tweaked it for
And like, they didn't just take the original 4:3 and just cut off the top and bottom.
Yeah, I can't stand that when it's just cut off.
Right?
And you start
like nothing's missing that I can see so far. And I've seen people do screen grabs, and the one that they went to, because the first one everybody was thinking about is there's a very famous one where they have like 25 minutes to save somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they put a clock in the bottom of the screen and the episode takes place in real time. And so people were like, well, where's the clock? If the clock gets cropped, then you know that they just matted it. And so people went and they even made a new clock image so it reads easier.
Oh,
like the old one had a slight, it's the same font, but it's almost like the old clock was in bold and this one isn't.
Sure.
But your TVs will display it better now, right?
Yeah,
right. And like you can see when they take the screen grabs that you're seeing things on the side that you're not seeing on the DVD release. So like they went back to the film.
Who would have done that?
I guess 20th Century Fox. I mean,
they're probably getting ready for a big Blu-ray release. Like if they're going to stream it, then they can just release that on a new version too.
Yeah, perhaps. And maybe they figure it makes it more valuable in syndication because now it's
that's probably true.
Because I know apparently it's similar to what they did for Seinfeld. When they put it on streaming to make it 16:9, but
did that with The Wire as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was watching it and I was just gushing about how great it looked. And my son was like, he's like, how old is this show? And I'm like, this show's like 45 years old. And he was like, whoa. Like to him, 45 years ago was like, I might as well be watching I Love Lucy. I Married Joan.
He's like, 45, that's old as dirt, Dad.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, well, all right.
I'm like, this episode came out when I was 2. That's how old this show is.
That's old as dirt, Dad.
Yes. I'm painfully well aware.
I'll tell you what.
And we're still technically fighting that war.
That's true, yeah.
I'll tell you what. It is amazing what they do with some of these shows because I had never until like 3 weeks ago watched The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, I just such a great show.
I grew up
one of the best shows in history of television.
Yep, I grew up with I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched and a lot of those shows that were like Nick at Night, and so I love Lucy, I love all those, you know, the really popular black and white old shows, but I miss the Dick Van Dyke Show. Amazon Prime has the entire collection of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
So does Netflix.
It is beautiful.
Yep,
I mean, that is a black and white show that is even older than MASH.
Yeah.
And they obviously scanned it from the original film. It looks like, if we use black and white cameras today, which is, sparingly used, but it could have been filmed today.
Right.
I mean, it is crystal clear.
And the best thing about the Dick Van Dyke Show is that the jokes in it are very situational. It's like, you know these characters, they put these characters in situations, and then funny things happen. So it's not... like it's not super dated.
Yeah,
a lot of the jokes.
It's kind of like the Seinfeld of their time.
Yeah,
where like it's not dated. It's everything's kind of
It's the only jokes. Dated was that it's like, you know, this, honey, you should, you know, be in the kitchen because yeah. you're a mom. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and you want to talk about time knockouts.
Mary
Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Holy good Lord.
Yeah.
What was the movie she was in?
Ordinary was it People?
With Ben Stiller?
Oh.
Where, like,
yeah,
he makes her touch her boobs?
Yeah.
What was that? I keep thinking it was Meet the Parents, but that's not
true. I dreamed about that.
No.
Were you Ben Stiller in the dream?
I wish I was.
But even then, though, like, that's what things were back then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's how, you know.
No, I'm not someone that likes to, like, rewrite
did
history.
Did they sleep in separate beds, or was it?
They did.
Okay.
And their relationship for its day was very...
progressive?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was very modern.
Well, she was very much like, I'm not going to be like that stereotype.
Right.
Like, he was more like, oh, honey, you know, I don't, you know, I'm going to go do this and you stay at home with the kids or whatever. But she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I thought her point of view was very progressive for that
right.
time period, because I would think most, you know, stay at home moms or housewives would just fall into that. But
right.
so I thought her view was refreshing, and it was really funny. Like, I had never seen it. I liked Dick Van Dyke. But I thought the show was great. So we're going to keep watching it. But again, I guess Netflix and Amazon completely, you know, free if you subscribe to those. But I can't believe the quality that
yeah.
they can get a show that old and in an HD make it look that good. It's
yeah,
it's neat.
I you know, did you ever watch Green Acres?
Yep.
No, I never watched that one.
You're gonna think it's like Corn Pone, Beverly Hillbilly stuff,
yeah.
and it's not. It's okay. like because it's. I mean, it works in that. It lives mm-hmm. in that world,
yeah.
and it literally lives in that universe. Like, it ties in
yeah.
to Petticoat Junction mm-hmm. and Beverly Hillbillies and all that. But
I know the song. That's about it.
But, like, the humor of that show is so wackadoodle.
Yeah.
Like, it's
is that Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Yeah,
yeah.
And or was that Ava Gabor? No, it's Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah.
Because it's like he like Oliver Wendell Holmes. Douglas Oliver Wendell Holmes was the Supreme Court Justice, or Oliver Wendell Douglas.
Sure.
We'll trust you.
Yeah.
He's like, gives up everything to go live on a farm because
okay.
it's his dream, you know, and it's nothing like what he thought. And
yeah.
everyone around him is crazy. It's kind of the premise is like, he's the only sane man, and like, nothing makes sense except to them. And he's just like, what is going
that
on?
Fun.
And
I'll
it's
check that out.
And like, it's just has this weird, crazy internal logic
yep.
that just only ever builds on itself. And like, and it's so odd that like in the same, it, like I said, it lives in the same world as like a Petticoat Junction
yeah.
or a Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, they literally cross over with them.
So
sometimes.
What is Petticoat Junction about?
It was like a skit show, wasn't it?
No, I think you're thinking of Hee Haw.
Oh yeah,
Petticoat Junction. I honestly have never seen it. I just know that like they live like one town over,
okay.
and but yeah, it's worth watching because it's and
yeah.
it used to be on Amazon. I think it
okay.
still is, but
I'm sure it seems like those older shows, you can find those. They probably sell them real cheap to the streaming, like because
yeah.
the younger kids are not getting a ton of views, but
right.
they've got them. So like, yeah, just
it's
pay
content,
us.
Yeah.
Just pay us whatever. Yeah. And you get, you know, 300 episodes of each one of these shows.
Yeah.
Well, it's all, I think they're in syndication anyway,
but where,
mm.
I mean,
right.
that's the thing.
Well, they used to be on Nick at Night. And
right.
now,
see, Nick at Night
is not a thing anymore.
Nick at Night anymore is always about, because they're chasing
like
the demo.
And,
it's
yeah.
always about 15 years old.
But didn't it get its own channel? And I feel like Nick at Night got its own channel.
Nick at Night is like 90s kids
right.
shows now, like Pete and Pizza and Nick at Night. Not
is that right?
Bewitched. Yeah, it's yeah. just
well,
a different.
Well, there's TV Land.
That's what it is.
But TV Land, even during the day, TV Land will get old. You'll get
yeah.
Bonanza and stuff because they know that the retirees are at home.
Right.
But
you get like Who's the Boss at Night.
Yeah, but at night, again, it's always like 15, 20 years old.
Andra.
Yeah, like they're
that's
chasing the demo.
Yeah.
You know,
you can do that because you're Italian.
Yeah.
It's the same reason you don't have oldies radio anymore.
That's true.
You know, all your oldies stations now are playing stuff from the 70s and 80s instead
yeah.
of the 50s and 60s. So.
That's why they, you know, they have to keep. So his name on Taxi was Tony.
Okay.
And his name on Who's the Boss
Tony.
Was Tony.
Sure.
Because they didn't. Obviously, the joke is like, he's not going to know his character's name. We'll just call him by his real name.
Oh, really?
He's that dumb.
I think Lucy had four sitcoms where her name was
Lucy.
Lucy.
Sure, yeah.
But I think that's more, she's iconic.
That always confused me when in those old shows, how they would always like have their name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Are they playing themselves? Like, it was.
What did I just. So I started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm. That's a funny show.
And Mary Lou Henner is on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Still looks like a million bucks.
She's a Broadway star, and she was just on the latest podcast of My Brother and Me. It's hilarious. They interviewed her on the blue carpet, is what they call it. There was a Margaritaville musical on Broadway, and they're friends with Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett loves My Brother and Me, and so he had them out to do the blue carpet, which is a Broadway premiere, and they interviewed her.
Is that really what it's called?
Yeah, the Broadway ones they call the blue carpet. But so they interviewed people, and instead of asking them regular questions, because they're not Broadway guys, and they're super funny, these three brothers, but they asked, "What is your favorite sea creature?" to these actors, and like they were all thrown off, but these actors are quick, and they gave them really funny answers. And Mary Lou Henner loved that, and she remembered them, as she tends to do.
Yeah, she has a photographic memory.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that? I had no idea. Can remember anything.
I think it's anything that happened in her life. Like, she can't necessarily, I don't think she can necessarily read a book
and remember everything.
But
I thought she could memorize a phone. She's not one of those that can memorize the phone book.
Maybe she can. I just know
it's
that like
it works out great for an actress.
If you're like, what shoes were you wearing on September 15th, 1978? Yeah. She'll be like, boom.
She has an amazing memory. But anyway, so she loved meeting them there and remember them, of course. And so she was just on their latest podcast, and My Brother and Me, they are an advice podcast. And so they read Yahoo Answers questions, and they answer them, and they're always ridiculous, but it's hilarious. And so she was giving advice out show and everything, and it's really funny. So
look at her on Taxi.
Yeah,
which is also another great show.
That is one of my favorites. Like, that's a great show.
Yeah,
Taxi is Cheers before Cheers.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's James. Is that James L. Burroughs? Yeah.
Yep. Burroughs too is.
Is it? Oh, probably. Jim Burroughs is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he like the writer?
He's the godfather of.
Yeah, I think he was a writer on Mary Tyler Moore, and then a lot of the Mary Tyler Moore people went to Taxi.
Okay.
And didn't go to the Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how a lot of people were pulled to The Simpsons, because James L. Brooks brought people from Taxi over to The Simpsons.
Gotcha.
And that's why Simpsons was such a huge hit, because it was animated, but it was a sitcom, and the animation was not taken as seriously at the time. Right. And then he comes over with his Taxi writing staff and brings that to animation, and people are like, what the
hell? Taxi cast is nuts. It's Andy Kaufman and Danny DeVito and Tony Danza, Mary Lou Henner,
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess that was it.
Dang it. The lady with the really squeaky voice.
Oh. Yep. I know, I can't think
totally
of her name.
Totally blanking on her. She's the ghost of Christmas Present in Scrooge.
She's in What a Stranger Calls. She's the main character in What.
You just watched that. You are no Mary Lou Henner, Joe.
I'm not a Mary. That
and
is
she's on
Unbreakable
Kimmy Schmidt.
She is. Carol.
I keep getting Caroline getting stuck, but
Carol. Yeah. Channing.
But that's a great show. That's one I haven't seen since like TV Land. Like I have not sat and like watched it through. I just caught episodes randomly on reruns and everything. So I need to go back and just watch that show. That's great. So
but anyway, after all that, we should probably turn our eyes to the box office. Hopefully there was just one movie that made all the money and we'll be done. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
Pretty much, Tom. And number one at the box office this weekend is...
Carol Kane.
There we go.
Sorry.
Kane. Okay.
Like
my Carol King.
Carol Kane.
So number one at the box office, Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation. The whole zany crew is back, and it made $43 million. That is not to mention the $1.2 million made by Amazon Prime showings. That's a thing. I got one for Rampage recently. They just offer... If you have Amazon Prime, you can go see movies like 2 weeks early. You pay a regular ticket price. It's not like a free screening, but
can you movie pass it?
If it's showing at the theater and you check in, I guess you can. I guess you can just buy the ticket. You might have to go through a link, then you couldn't. But anyway, $44 million this weekend. So that puts it at number one.
My kid loves those movies.
We talked about she has good taste in movies last week.
Sometimes she doesn't.
I mean,
like, to the point where her birthday.
This is her Monster Squad.
It could be.
And it is.
It is.
It is the monsters.
I'm sensing a theme.
Oh,
for her birthday, she wanted to like rent out a theater. I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. We can do that. So we went to the gallery. I rented out a theater. And she's like,
did you not know how much that costs?
No, we knew how much it cost. It's like $300.
Oh, that's not too bad. Someone the other day wanted to get one, and they quoted him $800.
No.
Maybe those, you had it at a time that was not like a prime.
It's like a Sunday. They do, the STL Cinemas does theirs at like early on Sunday morning.
Okay, that's not a normal like weekday evening time. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense, because like if you do like 7
can you scalp the tickets?
No. But yeah, like we're like, and you can pick. Like they let you, they're like you can either... Yeah. You can do a first run, which does cost a little bit extra, sure, or you can bring your own movie, yeah, and then there's no cost to it.
Behind the green door.
That's right. Oh, man. That would be super awkward.
That's
on
not,
a Saturday morning.
Sunday morning, especially.
Yeah.
But they that's not bad, though, because they have to pay a license for showing the film. So if you're renting the theater with a screen and air conditioning and seats, mm-hmm, you know, and you're paying the license for whatever movie, like, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
$300 isn't much more than you're nothing paying now.
That's basically, yeah. So, but... But she picked,
throw popcorn in there too.
Yes.
That's $300 right there.
Yeah, you get like a little thing.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah,
I have been seeing movies another way.
Hotel Transylvania. That's what she picked.
That's.
And I was like, hey, whatever, dude. It's your birthday.
You do it.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, I bought it on Blu-ray for like $10, and then Amazon shipped it. I took it to the theater the day before, and they had it ready to go.
My invitation must have gotten lost in the mail.
I mean, it did.
No, nope.
That's interesting that the Blu-rays are good enough that they can scale up to that size.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, it was great. It was. I will give them all kinds of props. Like they were great.
The ads that they show at the theater are 1080p. They're not on like the 4K projectors.
Right.
So like they may have changed this now since the technology is advanced, but the theaters always, when they first switched to digital, used to have two projectors, the little ads and the, you know, this is movie whatever, and the guy talks to you or whatever, that would be on one little 1080p projector, and then the movie projectors were on a different system with all the lockdown codes and everything.
Sure.
And so you would actually see, if you looked at the window, switching from the 1080p one to the big one in the center. And so, you know, those looked decent. I mean, those never really looked too bad. And so I think if you're at least at 1080p, they're, you know, fine if it was like...
Yeah, it was definitely like movie quality.
Yeah.
You know, like theater quality, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, props to them because they were great.
Yeah, well, nice. That movie had an $80 million budget, so opening with $44 million, but of course that is just domestic. So, I mean, you know, these animated movies make a ton overseas, so we don't have numbers in for that yet. But
I mean, just what it'll make in Transylvania alone.
Oh, yeah, they're huge. And
massive, yeah. I'm sure the people in Transylvania are like, oh, God.
So it's interesting.
Another one.
But like, so they're leaving.
It's good for tourism.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen any of these movies, but they're now leaving Transylvania and they're going to the beach in this one. So like they're... Yeah. Leaving, and I guess they're doing the fish out of water type thing in this movie. So they're kind of like they can only stay in Transylvania and be like, ooh, we're in spooky for so long. Like, whatever they do, it's like, I guess they're like, yeah, we need some more stories.
So it's really more like timeshare Transylvania.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yes,
Airbnb.
Yeah. Dracula needs a vacation.
Right.
Dracula out of water.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's voiced by Adam Sandler.
Yep.
B&B stands for Breakfast and Blood.
Breakfast and Blood.
There you go.
Yeah. B positive.
Bat and Blood.
I try to. Yeah.
Number two, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the movie from last weekend. That made $28 million, which is a 63% drop. Pretty heavy drop on that one. But, you know, it's up to $131 million domestic. I don't have a budget on that one. I think they said it was around 120.
That's what we looked it up. It was about 120.
Wikipedia maybe said that. So 130 domestic, but it's approaching $100 million overseas. So it's almost doubled its budget. So it's making its money back. Number three, Skyscraper, the movie of the week. This is $25 million asterisk. So this is a pretty small projection. So like The Rock, there's been a lot of articles like, is The Rock making an action movie every 3 months? Like, is it starting to kind of wear out its welcome? Then $25 million is a pretty light opening.
Yeah,
I think I agree. I think their mistake here was, as much as I love him, I don't know that he's quite big enough to truly open a film. I know that sounds crazy, but I think there needs to be another hook, right? It needs to be him and Kevin Hart, or him in a high concept like Jumanji, which I know also had Kevin Hart, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, but he's been in a lot of like, what do you call it? Like collaborations.
Right.
With...
Like he doesn't, like most of the stuff, I mean, he hasn't, is much fun as he is to watch. I mean, name a franchise that he's launched.
The WWE.
Yeah, no, that's true. He comes in and he makes Fast and Furious awesome with other people.
He'll
and,
kick up.
And Jason Statham.
He's saved other franchises. Sure. But, like, I mean, Jumanji was a big hit, but that's a that was a pre-existing property.
Correct.
And he had Kevin Hart.
There are four people. It's
Yeah. But I mean, and Jack Black, but yeah. Beyond those two, I don't know that anybody of
Karen Gillan.
Nobody goes to a Karen Gillan movie.
Karen Gillan is in movies we go to see.
Yeah. I don't even know if her parents go to Karen Gillan movies.
She looks so good in Jumanji.
They're like, dude, it'll be out on video, right? No. The window's gotten brief.
We'll catch it. That's very true. He has done some really good solo, like The Rundown or Faster.
But which was not a hit.
William Scott Thomas or whatever was in that, right?
No, that's true.
I mean, he's had other comedians,
that's true.
But that's interesting, though, because I feel like The Rock can. I think he can with the right property, but we haven't seen it.
Far, the properties have all been...
Established properties.
Yeah. He's had a significant name along for the ride.
I'm assuming he's going to be in Shazam. I mean, he's definitely Black Adam, and Black Adam is...
Hey, this is 2018. You can't call him... Just call him Adam.
No. Oh, okay. But, like, he's Black Adam's... Or he's Shazam's main villain.
Yeah, right.
So...
I'm sure it probably will be, like, at the end.
I would guess so,
but
like from the tone of the pictures they're releasing from that movie, like it looks super light.
Yeah.
You know, like his suit's a little ridiculous. Like it's a little over the top.
God, they love showing him drinking sodas.
Well, like
the new still that came out, like we already saw licensing convention, right, where he's drinking it like an unmarked cup so that Breadco or whatever could put their logo on it. And then the new thing is he's leaving a convenience store drinking a soda. I'm like, is that this main character's thing? Is that he drinks a soda?
Well,
I think he's a kid.
If that's the case, then I'm a superhero.
I know.
But he's a kid. Like, that's the thing is, like, he's a... 9-year, 10-year-old kid. Yeah. So yeah, I just
thought it was funny. It's like they just keep releasing photos and they're like, oh, he's drinking a soda.
Look at this crazy
look
guy.
At that.
But yeah, he hasn't really launched a franchise.
The Rock
on
being
his own.
A villain, that's gonna be interesting because he's never...
He's a great bad guy.
Yeah, I mean a heel in WWE, but we've never seen him on the big screen being a villain. He's always
a good guy.
It's gonna be interesting. So anyway, we'll get into that one. But $25 million was a lot lower than people would have expected. That's the estimate, so it could come in a little higher, but we'll have to see what ends up happening with that one, and we'll get into it very shortly for you here. Clearly this movie is an international movie.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not an American movie.
It's got China written all over it.
Literally. Yeah. So, I mean, when I was watching it, we'll get into it, but it's like, just because it opened at $25 million here, it is a Chinese movie for all intents and purposes.
And I will also say that the whole, like, you know, half of it's intended for China aspect, it works way better than it did in The Great Wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What a piece of...
Oh, don't remind us.
It's amazing to me that was still a movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's a movie that we reviewed. And it's just like, how did... Okay, well... Because it made $300 billion overseas.
I don't think it did.
It didn't. It tanked overseas because they were just like...
Because it was Matt because Damon they, hey, saving them.
Well, and they saw right through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Those creatures look good, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
They did.
Number four, Incredibles 2. So still plugging along here. 15.4 million, 46% drop in week five. $534 million domestic.
I mean, you can call it 35. It's 534.998.
Oh, okay, sure. $270 million overseas. Incredibles 2 in 5 weeks is at almost $800 million.
Disney's like, we can just do whatever we want.
That's amazing with a 14-year gap in between, and it makes $800 million in a month,
What's the gap between Toy Story 3? So Toy Story 4 comes out next year?
Is it? No, 2020?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Toy Story.
What's the gap? What was Toy Story 3?
Story 3 was 2010.
Look at me.
Wow.
So, 10 years between that one. We'll have to see how that... I mean, that's such a huge, beloved franchise that one I don't think you could fail even if it was an age thing. But with Incredibles, I wondered. I'm like, you know, that's a long time. People were kids. Like, they've waited 14 years. But apparently the nostalgia was there. I mean, when I was at the theater opening weekend, there were kids, but there were also just adults going to see it, date night kind of thing.
Yeah,
I
feel like Toy Story has done... They've done a better job about keeping that property alive.
Those characters have become...
Theme
parks.
Yeah, they had the they've
Halloween
had the
special.
Short movies
yeah.
and right. Halloween specials, yeah. and they even had a spinoff cartoon, Buzz Lightyear, Star Command.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, such a huge property. I don't know why. I think they need to do an incredible show and make it revolve around Edna Mode. I think that is the key, like a Disney XD.
Oh,
if
really?
They want to keep that franchise alive, like between movies. Yeah, because Edna Mode was hardly in the second movie. She's in it for one scene and he goes back the next day or whatever. That's it. And everyone loves that character. She's so funny with the different outfits and inventions. Like, that's a spinoff character where you could just have her and different superheroes and inventions and not need the main cast. That's how you get away with doing the TV show.
Right.
I just think it'd be, you know, an interesting.
They don't want to pay.
It'd be like Teen Nelson.
Yeah.
It'd be like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
For superheroes.
But with Edna Mode.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
Look at you. It's just Queer Eye now, Tom. It doesn't have to be for a guy.
Is that a thing?
Or a straight person.
Yeah.
Is that what they do?
Well, yeah, because like they had a woman this last season on there. It's not Queer Eye for the Straight Guy anymore. It's just Queer Eye.
It's weird. Like, I think the only one from that show that I still remember is the guy that hosts Chopped.
Like, I never watched it.
Oh, no.
But you could probably tell by my fashion choice.
No, the guy who hosts Chopped on the Food Network was one, like, the guy that taught the dude how to cook.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
And now he's the host of Chopped.
Have you seen the new one on Netflix?
No.
It's really good. Seriously.
Really?
It's fun, yeah. It's a really good show.
Don't tell me how to dress. I'll stick to my black t-shirts and camo shorts. Thank you very much.
There you go. So, not for everybody, but no, it's a really fun show. Number five, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Talk about a movie making money. $14.9 million is the early estimate, so could change, but that's about a 50% drop from last week. It is in week four, totaling $362 million domestic, but overseas, Joe?
I can't see it because your thing's in the way, so you're good. What was it? $700
million. And by thing, he means microphone. Just
sure
to
does.
Be clear.
No, I know what I said.
Oh, well, that's a compliment. That's pretty far away from...
Hang on, let's hear... We need to find out how much money it made before we know if it's a compliment.
Yeah. $700
million? Yeah, wow, okay. And you didn't see it?
Nope. I can't see it. Your thing's in the way.
$727 million overseas.
That, you know...
Almost $1.1 billion in 4 weeks.
Like, I'm happy that Chris Pratt has a hit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want him to fail.
Well,
he's
got to pay Anna.
I don't want... Yeah, that's also true. I don't want anybody to fail, especially that
guy.
Did
she get a big payday?
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Well, I've been married for a while, so
but don't forget, I mean, she's got a hit sitcom she's on.
Is that
every
still
week.
On?
Yeah.
Mother?
Yeah,
is still on?
Mom, I think it's called,
mom?
Actually. Yeah, but
the
Mother
first,
exclamation point?
The first Jurassic World was the third highest opening of all time or whatever, and then it made $2 billion. This movie's huge. Guardians of the Galaxy the 1 Avengers. And 2.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not making money.
I'm
but,
just saying
but,
his amount, though.
But yeah, but
be.
I mean, alimony's always based on, like, what are you making? What is she making?
Right,
and sure. she was not a stay-at-home mom. She's making some serious bank.
No, that's true. I mean, she was famous before him. I mean, she had more money before him, so. Yeah, I mean, she's been around with the scary movie stuff. I mean, when he
what
was still
was
in
scary
a, bumming around in a car doing One Tree Hill or whatever he was doing.
Was it One Tree Hill or Gilmore Girls?
What, whatever.
It was One Tree Hill, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, she was a star with those movies, you know, 20 years
when
ago.
When he was getting hit in the face by James McAvoy.
Yeah, so anyway, but I mean, this movie is... you know, it's just one of those things where someone mentioned something online. I mean, people are always talking about this, but it's one of those things where it's like, if you want lazy movies to keep getting made, I mean, you got to vote with your wallet, and it's like the studios are not going to change their movies if they keep making $1 billion.
That's like, I think you're having a perfect point, and that's why I think DC is starting to pivot, because, like, you know, Man of Steel made what it made, and I feel like that was a good return. Like, it wasn't great, but it was what a Superman movie may have done. Batman versus Superman was a flop. Not a flop, but a failure.
But that was the one that should have been.
Should have been $2 billion. Justice League should have been.
Of course, yeah.
And that is a flop. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So I feel like with Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and the way Aquaman is looking, like, it looks interesting. The Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, like, they're starting to pivot a little bit. Because people showed with their wallet or didn't show up with their wallet.
This is the first time, I think, that with the Scorsese, Joaquin Phoenix, Todd Phillips, like, this is the first time they're doing the Marvel thing, I think, with, like, casting the director and producer that is making the movie, because the Joker's probably going to be a stand-up comedian.
Right.
We've talked about Scorsese, King of Comedy.
Yeah, if they were, they really, you know, it would be great. It would be really smart marketing if the Joker's going to be a stand-up comedian a week before the movie opens. He should have a special drop on Netflix.
God. And it should be awful.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it should be a complete
that would
bomb.
Be great with like real production value where he's like actually like shooting people that like
before he becomes the Joker.
Oh, they, like it could be one of those things where Netflix saying. Were just like, oh no, this guy's the next
that
big
would be
thing.
Ballsy to not make him the Joker. I see what you're saying.
I don't think he's gonna be the Joker. And it's the sort of thing Joaquin Phoenix would love.
I mean, look at those documentaries he's made. Like, he would be the guy that would for a year play that character.
I also think he's not gonna be the Joker until the end.
Oh,
I think he's going to be Jack Napier or whatever they're going
to
call him.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Is I mean, they're going to have to give him a name as the
they call him in recent history. They've called him Jack Napier. So, which is, I mean, what
Jack Nicholson's character.
Uh-huh. That's where the name started, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I never realized they adopted that.
In some iterations.
Okay.
They have, yeah,
I hadn't seen that. That's interesting.
Read Batman White Knight.
Okay.
That's what they call him.
Interesting. All right. Number six, The First Purge. So we talked a little bit about that last week. It's second week in release. It's making an estimated almost $9 million, a 49% drop. It is up to about $50 million total domestic and overseas about 11. So call it 61-ish on a 13 million. So
Blumhouse special.
A little higher budget, but still, I mean, you know, well under most and it's making money. So they're doing their thing over there. Number seven, Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Oh, sorry. Thank you. We actually have I don't know what you would call this. We have a little
a write-in.
Yeah, we do. Write-in. We do. So we have one of those limited release movies that's really taking off, and a movie that I'm super excited to see. Sorry to Bother You came in with $4.9 million.
That's what the dude from Get Out.
Right.
Yeah, the first guy in Get Out.
Says
Get Out. Yeah.
Right. Did you see it?
I have not.
I wanted to see it.
Lakeith Stanfield. Sure. I think is how you say it.
Okay.
He was on Comedy Bang Bang last week.
Oh, was
to
he?
Promote Sorry to Bother You, because it was released in LA last week.
All the trailers I've seen for this look awesome.
Yeah, I've been hearing great things.
It looks amazing, and yes, it's all the critics are raving about it. It did open here in town, so I know we have people all over.
Tessa Thompson's in it.
She is.
Yeah.
If you're in St. Louis, it is at Esquire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's at a couple, Creefcore 12. It's a lot of the AMCs. So Landmark didn't get it yet, but a lot of the AMCs that play the indie stuff in town, and they're hoping with this $5 million opening that it gets expanded.
The other
week.
One that I keep seeing trailers for is that new Spike Lee flick.
That looks awesome.
Looks insanely good.
Yeah.
And based on a true story?
Yeah. Like, that looks great.
Interesting.
I do love that last tag in the trailer. It's like, man, if I'd have known this was a Klan party, I wouldn't have signed up for this.
But yeah, so good for that movie. I'm happy that it's doing that. I mean, $5 million on 805 screens. Good for them. And so, yeah, hopefully we'll get a wide release this next week. But they've been really pushing it on social media and telling people to go out and see it this first week, because that's for these indie art house movies. I mean, you got to see them at the smaller, you know, limited releases and get them to expand. Coming in now at number eight, Sicario Day of the Soldado, $3.5 million, is a 55% drop. It is up to $42.8 million here, but of course in Mexico it's doing great. It has made $15 million overseas, so approaching $60 million on a $35 million budget. They keep that budget pretty small. I'm surprised.
It's a pretty tight movie.
Got two stars in it, though, and I mean, I'm guessing they film
location. He signed that deal before the Avengers.
Yeah, you know, it's Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin they're in some big movies all at the same time. That's pretty impressive.
You do the Avengers so you can.
That's exactly right.
Make movies like this.
Yeah.
So it's made about double its budget. So, you know, I would, you know, not as good as I think they would hope, especially coming off that first one.
But don't forget about all the Soledad action figures.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah,
true.
Do you think he's a better actor than his old man?
Yeah.
Me too.
James?
Yeah.
Brolin?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like James. James Brolin was always like Steve McQueen level cool for me. Like, he was a cool dude, but I feel like Josh is like on another level of cool.
Was he in, he was in the first Westworld movie.
He's
in 78.
Yeah.
He's
in Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
The original one.
I think he's the one that looks just like a young Christian Bale. Like when you look at,
oh really?
When you look at young,
I see that a little
when
bit.
You look at young James Brolin, it's like he's freaking Christian Bale. It's crazy.
He's
looking.
A giant though. I feel like he's a big dude.
Maybe. I looked at if you see him in Westworld, which I went back and watched during season
movie.
One. Yeah, I liked it. You know, and I of course loved the show, but I looked at him like, holy crap, I hadn't seen him at that time period. I hadn't seen him in a lot of stuff, and I was like, he looks exactly like Bale.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sound different, but anyway. coming in at number 9, Uncle Drew. I know that's Joe's favorite movie of the summer.
Drew's Brew.
It's all the kids are doing it. Non-alcoholic. $3.1 million is a 53% drop in week 3. It is now up to $36.5 million, and overseas, $1.3 million. So they love the Uncle Drew over there. Rounding at the top.
Over where?
Over the seas.
Okay.
Not under the seas, but over the seas. And rounding out the top 10, Ocean's 8 with $2.9 million. So still hanging around. 43% drop puts it at $132 million domestic. So making some good money. $114 overseas puts it right around $250 million on a $70 million. So guess we'll be getting a sequel.
Awesome.
With Danny Ocean, I would assume.
We'll see.
I have to assume.
That is just so, like, what a weird choice. Like, I get that if you don't have him in there, you don't have to pay him or have him, you know, film anything for it. But I'm just surprised.
I feel like
his
picture's in it, though. And you got to pay him for
that. Graves in it.
No, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they use his picture. They only show you his name on the grave.
Is that right?
Yeah. No. Okay. So I mean, at the end, especially because she revisits, it bookends with his tomb, whatever you call that, in the mausoleum, whatever, with his name on the gravestone. Like, I cannot believe it wasn't open or a key hanging out of it.
Well,
like, I mean,
she pours 2 glasses of champagne, doesn't she?
Well, I think she does. But I just cannot believe they didn't. Yeah, but that was like a pour one out for my homies. That wasn't like he's going to come pick it up after the.
But I'm saying, like, the setup is there for her to pour a second one and him to be like, thanks.
So in the next one, maybe they show her walking away and he walks up and drinks it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I always thought Sandra Bullock 1997-98 would have been a perfect Lois Lane.
Speed.
Yeah. Yeah,
Sandra Bullock.
Speed, the net, all that stuff. She would have been
the net.
Yeah, not a good. Well, all right, that wasn't the best option for me.
I just love the tech, like the internet. And
movies
from the '90s.
Yeah, she would have watched War Games.
Oh my God, what? I love that.
Like, when he grabs a floppy disk and it's the size of a record album.
So, did you know that in? I don't know that you read it, but Ready Player One, the simulation instead of The Shining is War Games. Could you imagine the, like, they'd redo the war game? Like, it just would be so dated. Like,
I thought that was funny. Shining
was
so good.
The Shining scene was great, but
was
like
wonderful.
War Games, that movie, I mean, I probably saw that movie 4 or 5 times in the theater.
Who's the girl in that?
Was that Ally
Sheedy?
I think it was, That movie was awesome back
then. Yeah,
that
was awesome. Totally. So good. Yeah. Still holds up.
What was the other one? Sneakers? Is that another, like...
That was later.
So that's Sneakers, like, is the Robert Redford one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that another, like, computer...
Oh, yeah.
...movie in that era.
Yeah. Well, no, 10 years
Sneakers
apart.
Is, like, 94, 95.
Yeah, I mean, I rode my bike to the theater to see War Games.
Oh,
Sneakers is, like, Robert Redford always looked old. Yeah. But this is, I feel like this is like 90.
It's kind of a Steve Martin thing going on where now he doesn't look that much older than he did 30 years ago.
That's true. Yeah.
That guy, they got to play him, the young him in Sneakers.
Oh yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, they nailed it.
That guy looked just like a young
before de-aging technology.
Yeah.
We have to find actors that look like these guys.
Oh man.
He looked just like him. That
we had
was great.
Cast people.
I'm surprised they didn't do that for him in Civil War. No. Winter Soldier.
They didn't need a young one, did they?
I mean, they referenced that they can only go so far.
Has its limitations.
Look at his face. What are we supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S, 21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, do so at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or online at RealSpoilers.com. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe, and do all that other fun stuff. So that's it for this one.
Patreon, if you will.
Oh, Patreon. Sorry. Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. Give us your money.
And you know what? If you don't want to listen to the Patreon, you can still donate to support the show.
We'll take your cash.
Don't even worry about it. The Patreon isn't necessarily like, oh, I don't think it's worth it to get these extra episodes to pay the $5. It's like, you can. It's
gonna
that's
help
a
brother out.
That's icing on the cake. The main part of the Patreon is to actually support this show. The Patreon is to support this show, and for doing so, you're rewarded with extra episodes. But don't feel like you have to listen to 4 extra episodes a month to justify the donation. I mean, and don't feel obligated to donate, but just know that it's supporting all the shows. It's not just the extra ones. It's all the same real spoilers. So we appreciate everyone that's donated, and Joe and I read the names at the beginning of each month, and we, you know, every time we get new ones and the existing ones, we read them all off, and we really do support everyone, or appreciate everyone's support.
And you support us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So so anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Skyscraper. Until then, you've been warned.
Just give me that countryside.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.